Now we come to this next thing God did for us, and I have to go back in verse 4 and lift out that little expression, that phrase, in love. That doesn't belong really with the election. It belongs here with predestination. In love, having predestinated. Now somebody's going to say, well, I never knew you could get predestination and love even in the same county, let alone in the same verse. But here they are, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, this word predestinate is a word that's been frightful to a great many people. And predestination is a word that comes from proorisis, a Greek word, and it means to define, to mark out, set apart. It means to horizon. You go out, especially if you're in flat country, and look around, you see you are in a certain area, and you can only see to the horizon. That's the word. You are horizoned. You are put in that area. Now, may I say that predestination is never used in reference to unsaved people. God never predestinated anybody to be lost. If you're lost, it's because you've rejected God's remedy. Here is the thing. Here's a man lying on a bed dying. The doctor has come in and prescribed to him and says, here's a medicine. If you take it, it'll heal you. The man looks at the doctor in amazement, says, I don't believe you. And he leaves that glass of medicine there by his desk. He could reach out and take it, and he won't take it. Now the man dies, and the doctor's report says he dies of a certain disease. That's accurate. But may I say to you, there was a remedy there, and he actually died because he didn't take the remedy, don't you think? May I say to you that today God has provided the remedy. Now, God has never predestinated anybody to be lost. That is something that you will have to determine yourself. That's where your free will comes in. Now, predestination has to do with the saved. And all it really means is that when God starts out with 100 sheep, he's going to come through with 100 sheep. That's all in the world it means. Again, if you go back to the epistle to the Romans, you find that wonderful verse that's quoted so often in verse 28 in the 8th chapter. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And as Dr. Torrey used to say, that's a wonderful verse for a tired heart to pillow its head on, is that verse there, and it is. To them that are called according to his purpose. Now, this that follows goes with it. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, you see, we talk now about saved people. He called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, when God starts out with 100 sheep, he'll come through with 100 sheep. Now, that's a good percentage, because I was told by one of the sheep growers, raisers, out in San Angelo, Texas, years ago, that, very frankly, he said that they would appreciate getting 65%. He said, we can make money if we get 65% of the sheep we start out with, if we can get them to market. Well, may I say to you, what would it hurt if one little old sheep got lost? Well, I'll tell you what the Lord Jesus said about that. He said a man had 100 sheep. One little old sheep got out and got lost. Most of us do that even after we get saved. Now, we don't lose our salvation, but we sure get out of fellowship with him. We get way out yonder. And some people think they actually lose their salvation. But the little old sheep is still a sheep, and he's way out yonder, and he's lost. And all we like sheep have gone astray. That's our propensity. That's our tendency. That's the direction we go. We don't go toward God. We go from him. And we get out yonder, away from him. And what does the shepherd do? Well, He went out to look for that little sheep. I'm confident that that man who raises sheep in San Angelo, Texas, I don't believe he'd go out on a cold, blustery, stormy night to get one little old sheep. I think he'd say, let him go. Thank God we got a shepherd that never says that. He said, I started out with 100 sheep. I'm going to come through with 100 sheep. And it's just as simple as this. He starts out with 100 sheep. Now, the day comes when he's counting them in yonder in heaven, way out yonder, somewhere in the future. And he starts out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 96, 97, 98, 99, 99, 99, 99. What in the world happened to Vernon McGee? Well, we just lost one, so I think we let it go at that. A lot of folk didn't think Vernon McGee is going to make it anyway. And thank God he won't do it that way. If I'm not there, my friend, when he counts them in, he's going to go look for me, and he's going to bring me in. That's what predestination means. I don't know about you. I love the word. He's guaranteed. That's his guarantee. He says, I've lost none of those that were given to me. And I love it that way. And if sheep are saved, it's not because they're smart little sheep, because they're stupid little fellas. If they're safe, it's because they got a wonderful shepherd. That's the glorious, wonderful thing about it. Now, that's the second thing that he does for us. But he's predestinated us to the adoption of sons. Now, I'm not going into that because I have dealt with that in Galatians. Adoption means he's brought us into the place of a full-grown son. And that means two very important things. It means, first of all, we've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, that the child of God has been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the new relationship. The Lord Jesus talked about to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, it means something else. Adoption does. It means a position and a privilege. It means that we have been saved and not only born into the family of God as a babe in Christ, but we've been given the position of an adult son. And it means now that we are in the position that we can understand the Father. Now, it's wonderful. I've got a Heavenly Father today, and I've been a babe a long time. But, you know, he told me that he's put me in now a position where I can understand him. Today we can understand. And how? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And all of this has been through Jesus Christ, are in Christ Jesus. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And all of this, friends, is for the glory of God.